The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. I am Paul Orlowski, and today we're here with Ben and Sarah Kroger. They're from St. Mary's in Worcester, have a large family, a family farm as well. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, sir. Sarah, how did you grow up? How did the faith form in you?
So I grew up in greater Cincinnati area, around Kings Island, for people who know the area. Mm-hmm. We grew up Catholic, but I would say in Cincinnati, it's like culturally Catholic, because there's a lot of Catholic churches in Cincinnati, and it was just kind of, everybody was Catholic. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily something that I felt like we chose intentionally. It was just something that we did. So we went to church every Sunday, and I was part of the youth group, and my dad ran the golf league, and my mom ran the women's group. But there wasn't a lot of faith that permeated our life outside of Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And then when I grew up and went to college, I went to the Catholic church on campus the first Sunday, and the music was terrible. I didn't love it. And so I never left what I would have called being a Christian, mm-hmm. but I stopped going to a Catholic church and just went to a non-denominational church in the area because, honestly, the music was better. Uh-huh. I didn't have a strong understanding of what separated the Catholic church from any other Christian denomination.
That's not an uncommon story, though.
Right.
And absolutely.
So I didn't understand what was different, and I thought, this is more exciting. And honestly, I'm grateful for my time with the Protestants, because I learned, I mean, I was reading the Bible for the first time. I was going to Bible studies. I was involved in praise and worship music, and felt like I got to know the person of Jesus during that time that I had never experienced before in my life. No one had ever talked about God that way or about Jesus that mm-hmm. way as a person with whom you could have a relationship. And that really ignited just my heart.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in an Italian parish, and that the catechesis was not great. It was just
right.
Because I said so. This is why we do it, and that's so you're going to do it. I understood the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, but nonetheless, there was not a lot of other than because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, how about you? Where'd you grow up?
Well, really, I also grew up in the Cincinnati area. We the two of us met. We went to junior high together, and so we've known each other a very long time. My sort of faith journey doesn't really get going until the end of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced a lot of brokenness in family life and in some relationships. By the end of high school, I was a vehement, vocal, angry, anti-Christian atheist, and went through sort of a journey of discovery. I had a sort of personal mission to try to relieve all these poor Christians of their collective delusion, and went on a journey of discovery, and like a Josh McDowell or a Lee Strobel type of a story. And at the end of it, obviously, you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And in the course of that line of inquiry, I came to a pretty profound conversion through the framework of Protestant evangelical, mm-hmm. the Protestant evangelical framework. Had a profound conversion at that stage, and became a vehement, vocal, anti-Catholic, evangelical Protestant at that
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a Christian service fraternity, and I had a fraternity brother who was Catholic, and I went to him. I said, "Brother, I'm worried about your soul." And he said, "You really want to do this?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm worried about your soul." He said, "Well, first of all, that's an act of love. Genuinely, it's an expression of concern for my soul. That's an act of love. We might work on your delivery a little bit, but thank you. And if we're going to do this, we do it together. And at the conclusion, the two of us together follow wherever the truth leads. And I was all in because I thought I knew where the truth led. Mm-hmm. But at the end of 9 months of staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning and I wrestling with each other, and I'd throw 1,000 pages of Protestant theology at him, and he'd throw 4 pages of church history at me, because that's about all it took. And at the end, he was my confirmation sponsor.
No kidding.
And I came into the church.
Arguments or conversations or both?
Both. Yeah, it's probably a healthy dose of each, yes. And he went on to get a doctorate in Catholic theology, and is a professor at Seton Hall and a senior fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. So I wrestled with a big dog.
And exactly.
At the time, I thought I was losing, but in the end, we all won. So it was a blessing.
You say you've known one another since junior high. Mm-hmm. Dated throughout that period, or knew one another and then re-met?
Well, no, we stayed connected that whole time. We were friends for several years at first. We dated right at the end of high school, and then off and on through college, and then into our adult life, and then we got married at 27, 28. I'll be honest, usually, stereotypically, it's the woman who remembers all of these details and the man who forgets, but I'm just glad it's on the inside of my wedding ring, so I won't forget the date.
There you go. Different colleges?
No, we both went to Miami in Oxford.
Okay. You were married and then began a family.
Correct. So we got married in 2005, and now we currently have 7 living children. We moved up to Worcester, about an hour south of Cleveland, 8 years ago now, which is crazy to me, through a promotion for Ben for work. And in fact, when he called and he said we were going to move, I knew he had interviewed for the job, and it was my first outing by myself with 5 kids. I had decided to go to the park because we just had a new baby weeks before. Decided to go to the park, and he called me and he said, we're going to move. And I said, where are we moving? And he said, we're moving to Worcester. And I was like, is that in Ohio? Like, I have no idea. I had to look it up. But we moved, and I fell in love with the area. I love the culture there. I love the mix of farm life and just the slower pace of some things. I grew up in the suburbs. We didn't even have a dog growing up. Mm-hmm. And now I call where we live the thing I never knew I always wanted. And it brings me so much peace to just be out in the space and the quiet and the kids having a place to run. Because we homeschool our 7 kids and have a small homestead. So I'm milking a cow in the morning and cooking for our family and trying to keep the kids from killing each other sometimes.
Exactly. Seems very normal family life, I suppose. Ben, we've never had a farmer or a person that had a farm on the program before, so you were the first. You're doing that in addition to your promotion job, the job you got the promotion at?
Well, at the time I was active duty with the military, and I was serving active duty with the United States Army in support of the Ohio Guard. And so I had been serving down near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, mm-hmm. and had an opportunity to move up to a duty station further north. There's a small armory in Worcester right next to the Wayne County Fairgrounds. And every National Guard armory has a couple guys on active duty that kind of keep the paperwork in order and keep the lights on, keep everybody in a state of readiness in the event that we're all called to do our job. So I was moved to that small armory, and I had never heard of Worcester. I now know it's Worcester. I thought we were going to Worcester. But I had never even heard of it. Went up and had found out we were moving there, moved, lived in a house in town for 9 months, and then went out and found a little piece of land and started a little homestead.
Yeah. Guys, if you'll stay right there, we'll be right back on God Calling. We hope all of our listeners will stay tuned as well here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Ben and Sarah Kroger are our guests on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Thanks for listening. We're glad you're here. Ben, you say you bought a piece of land. You've got the cows that Sarah mentioned. How much farming do you do?
Well, as we said, it's a small homestead. It's a little 5-acre piece. We're very fortunate to have access to another 5 that is neighboring our property. And so it has been a big part of our life. It's not a big moneymaker for us. It's more of a lifestyle where we want to be more connected to our food, more connected to God's creation, and really raise our kids in an environment where they have an appreciation for the stewardship of what God has given us. Yes, we're called to exercise dominion and stewardship. Mm-hmm. Both we go out and we cultivate things, but then we also care for them. And that goes all the way back to the original charge that God gave Adam in the garden to till and to keep, to exercise dominion and stewardship. And so we love raising our kids in that environment.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, he took my next question right out of my mouth. Hmm. That connection to the land, growing something, seeing the magic of creation. Do you get the same feeling?
I do. Honestly, I half joke that my favorite part of the day is milking my cow. I feel like it's a really just grounded and connected activity, and one that my kids, especially my 8 and 10-year-old, just really always want to be a part of. We joke that they're going to try to steal my cow because they keep asking, you know, when they can milk and all that kind of stuff. And it's something that we do together, but I feel like it's also something that there's a lot of truths of God in his creation. It's his role as the creator melding with our creativity and our participation in that. I feel like the lessons are everywhere. And the connecting with this massive giant animal and doing it in a calm and peaceful way in something that I'm participating in, but I don't have any control over that cow. I can't overpower her. So I have to work with that piece of God's creation in order to achieve the goal, in this case of, you know, getting milk and taking care of her. But whether it's that or whether it's baking bread or growing a garden or whatever it is that we're doing, you see very quickly that you're not in control of anything and that you are just a participant in what God has put in motion. And I can set up my garden and I can fertilize it and I can pull weeds, but I can't actually make anything grow. I can cultivate it and try to not really listen to it literally, but, you know, feed it when it needs to be fed and harvest when it needs to be harvested, but I can't. I'm just a participant. I'm just a participant in what God has set in motion.
I overwatered my tomatoes this year. So they're awful juicy, and then later on, they started cracking because
too much water.
Yeah, Ben, you guys got your hands full. 7 children at home and homeschooling. How do you do it?
Well, part of it is just keeping a perspective. It's not just our hands that are full; our hearts are full. I look at those kids, and it's the most important mission work we do. Is working with these 7 kids. And when you get to know them as people, you see these little images of God. It really does change the way that you interact with them. I remember having a very powerful experience. My 14-year-old daughter now, when she was 2 years old, she has celiac disease. And we didn't know that early on. It runs in my family. We didn't know she was celiac, but she was sick. She was in pain. She would wake up every night and cry and scream, and not just in a, you know, whimpering way, but active screaming.
Like a nerve disorder or something?
No. It was the celiac. We were giving her food that was making her sick.
Ah, okay.
So celiac is an intolerance to wheat and gluten.
Okay.
So for the first 2 years of her life, we were giving her food that was making her sick. And so she was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know that. But for 2 years, we didn't sleep more than 3 hours at a time before she would wake up.
Yeah.
And after 2 years, I was at my wit's end. I had nothing left. I would stand in the middle of our bedroom and just rock. And this was a very hard moment for me as a dad. She is screaming. I haven't slept more than 3 hours in 2 years. And I don't have anything left in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those moments where I was crying out to God going, Lord, I can't do this. I need help. I cannot. I am out of charity for this little one.
Yeah.
I need your help. And I very, very clearly in my heart heard his words to the Apostle Peter, will you not stay awake with me 1 hour? And in that moment, I was given the grace to see in that 2-year-old him. She was the least of these. It was him coming to me and asking me to stay awake with him 1 hour. And in that moment, I was given the grace to then persist. And shortly thereafter, we figured out it was celiac. We removed wheat from her diet. It completely changed everything. Like she was a different child within a week. But that moment of being able to see Christ in my children as the least of these completely changed the way that I interacted with my kids. And so, yeah, are there times that we run out of gas, or times we run out of energy, or the times that we feel like our hands are full? Yeah. And if we just pause for a moment, remember that our hearts are also full. It changes the way that we approach those interactions with those 7 kids that make our hands full, but also invite us to remember that our hearts are full.
Sarah, this kind of goes hand in glove with some stuff that I read from like the introduction to your book.
Mm-hmm.
Your book is I Make All Things New. So it's a 21-day devotional, but
correct.
One of the themes in there is that through brokenness, through trials and tribulations, we can see God. Tell me about that.
The premise of the book is just what you said, using the truths of sacred scripture on suffering and uncertainty, and just the overabundance of God's grace in our lives, in that everything we need, this isn't revolutionary, everything we need is in sacred scripture. Not just that we suffer, but how to suffer well, and the reality of Christ with us in our suffering. And for some of us who are kind of wound pretty tightly, sometimes it's only through that brokenness that God can even get into our hearts. And so the book is just, it's just that, taking you one story at a time. Every day has a scripture passage and then just a story from my life that relates to it. Whether it's lessons I've learned through my own brokenness or stories that my parents told me when I was younger on how to make decisions and things like that, to just give you a chance to reflect on your woundedness in places where you have valid and real difficulties and when you don't know what's coming next. And one of my favorite quotes of all time is from Corrie Ten Boom that says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." And when you have those moments of uncertainty, there's reassurance in sacred scripture and in the lives of the saints. And in the stories around you, there's that beauty and that reassurance of God's faithfulness to not just make everything okay. Because we all know that you might be suffering, you might offer it to God, and He doesn't always take the suffering away. You still are going through it, but it then has purpose, or it then has meaning or something that you can use to ease the next person's suffering, and the assurance that He is in it with you, that you are not suffering alongside, you are suffering within the body of Christ.
Yeah. Thank goodness, Ben, for gluten-free hosts.
Amen.
A wonderful invention. Stay with us, folks who are listening on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski with Ben and Sarah Kroger. We'll be right back. Thanks for staying with us. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, and Ben and Sarah Kroger are our guests today. St. Mary's in Worcester is your parish, a smaller parish. Sarah, when we broke for the commercial, you were talking about your book and the 21-day devotional, seeing down the road good out of what might be bad at that moment.
Right.
What tips do you have for people?
I think the central verse in that is Romans 8:28, that God works good in all things, and that we don't have to understand it in order to accept it because God said so, and that He is nothing if not faithful, and that people can disappoint us, but God's faithfulness is unshakable and never ending. And it's something that you can lean and rely on. I mean, the truth of His faithfulness is never changing. It's never ending and never wavering. And I guess the tips that I would have for someone would be to cling to the truths in Scripture. Just cling to the pieces of Scripture that assure you that your suffering is efficacious, that your difficulties are not done alone, and the reality of, just like Thomas putting his hands inside the wounds of Christ, you suffer within the wounds of Christ, not just alongside. It gets me emotional to think about that you suffer inside of His perfect wounds when He is going through that with you. And just to say it as truth, just to look at it and say, because the evil one is going to scream the lies, and that your repetition of the truth combats that. Mm-hmm. That you haven't won when you eliminate the negative thoughts, because that's not possible. Everyone's going to have those moments of doubts, the times when the evil one is just shouting at you, and that your response is the truth. Mm-hmm. Your response is meeting that lie with what God actually says and holding on to that and saying the same thing over and over again. Because like the evil one's bag of tricks is not deep. It is the same over and over, repetition. You do not have to get creative and fancy with your rebuttals. The one moment, I mean, Christ Himself did that when He was tempted in the desert. He just recited the simple truths. You can try to trick me, but I stand on this truth. And that's what's great about wherever you get a devotional where you can spend that moment each morning with a nugget of truth to prime your day so that you have that in your mind and in your heart as the day goes on. When you're presented with that difficulty, you can then recall that. And that's what I meant when I said that I was grateful for the time, you know, in my Protestant days, was I was memorizing scripture. Mm-hmm. I was reading the Bible. And that was something that growing up, the Catholics weren't doing.
Sure.
I think that my kids are experiencing a different wave of the church, thanks be to God, than I did growing up. But the fact that I can read that in the morning and recall it throughout the day and just stand on that truth to elevate myself above the lies.
Ben, you're a big strapping guy. Something she said in her book, I think maybe applies to your life in a way that vulnerability is good.
Absolutely.
And you look invincible.
Well, I'm decidedly not, Paul. It's funny. I wrestle with my kids and they think that they'll never get to the point they can overcome Dad, but it'll happen soon enough. But the one thing that I mean, in my own experience, I can attest to my own vulnerability, and I think that it's easy to get caught in a lie that vulnerability is bad or dangerous. Vulnerability is critical.
Or weak.
And Sarah speaks to these things from a place of credibility, from a place of having walked this path. And in 2017, I was a part of an incident here in the homeland that ultimately resulted in my diagnosis with PTSD. And it presented a profound struggle for me and mm-hmm. for our family over the course of the following years. It wasn't just my own woundedness and other people, my wife and my children, experiencing a painful season due to my woundedness. They were wounded in the process, I say, as someone who works with men who have experienced wounding, whether PTSD or part of the wounding. I mean, if everybody's experienced wounding, Dr. Bob Schutz says, have you ever sinned or been close to someone who sinned? The answer, of course, is universally yes. And if you have, then you've been wounded. Mm-hmm. And so being real about that, being authentic about that, it's exactly the illustration that Sarah used with Thomas. And Jesus invites Thomas into his wounds. And in that moment, we see that the glorified Christ is not woundless. Mm-hmm. It's his glorification does not result in the erasure of his wounds. The wounds have also been glorified. And that provides an invitation for all of those who are suffering, all of those who have experienced wounding, to enter into his wounds and then to present their wounds once they have been transformed by his love, present their wounds to others and invite them into that space. And it's only through vulnerability can we show our wounds to others. Mm-hmm. It's only through vulnerability can we then say, hey, look, I'm hurt too. I'm struggling too. This has been extremely difficult and continues to be. We continue to deal with on a daily and weekly basis in our lives with the fallout mm-hmm. from PTSD and all of its difficulties and all the realities of woundedness. But through that, I've been able to do a lot of work with men in trying to fight for their hearts and to fight for the restoration of the masculine heart that is so vilified in our culture. Mm-hmm. Masculinity is universally vilified culturally. What we need is not just the demasculinization of humanity. We need a restoration of authentic, virtuous masculinity. And that can only come through a vulnerable navigation of the wound that invites others to navigate it as well.
Another one of your quotes, Sarah, only through brokenness can God come into our hearts.
It's true. And I don't know if this is a universal human condition or just an American trait of, you know, the pulling it up by your bootstraps and doing it yourself. And while it's true that you have to put in the work at whatever it is, whether it's parenting or, you know, your job or anything, you do have to put in the work. But when you have everything so tightly wound, there isn't room for really any relationship, let alone the relationship of God, because you can't have a heart connection when it's all that closed off and tight.
Sarah, I want to stop you right there because I want to give you a chance to plug your book. Tell me about it.
The book is called Behold, I Make All Things New. And it's, like we said, it's a 21-day devotional. You can get it either at a live event with me or you can get it on Amazon. And I can be found online at www.thepurposeproject.coach.
Perfect. Sarah and Ben, thanks for joining us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Join us each and every week at this very same time right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM 1260TheRock.com.